is for that preparation. So anything that you do to help us would be greatly appreciated. Saying all that, take your swords out. Dan, would you lead us, please?
Father, I have your word, I know it's true.
Father, I have your word, and I know it's true.
I am what it says I am.
I have
what it says I have. I have what it says I have. I can do everything. It says I can do. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We were talking about last week about constantly be reminded of who you are. Who are you? If I come up to you, I don't expect you to tell me that you're a baker or you're an electrician or you're a carpenter. I expect you to tell me you're part of the body of Christ and that you're a king living a victorious Christian life, because you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. You have to believe that you are of royalty. I know who I am. I believe I am of royalty. And I walk in the power and authority that God has given to me. Do you? If you're not, it's because you don't understand some basic building blocks. And I'll try to elaborate a little bit more today about these building blocks. You are a finished work, although in the reality that we are in, God sees us already complete. He already sees us. And when he prophesies to us that we are a priesthood, a royal priesthood, we now begin a process that he changes us from the inside out, along with the way we think about things. And it takes time. It takes time to go through this process. We must constantly remind ourselves of the difficulties that we face day in and day out are not the realities that God says. Satan uses these realities, all these difficulties, all these situations, all these things to overwhelm us so that we forget who we are. We don't call on God, and therefore we become overwhelmed and we become just like the world, because we say things like, what's the use? You know, they're not having any problems with life. Why shouldn't I? I can be called a Christian without being a Christian. You see, there's a radical difference that we need to understand that makes a person a Christian who has been overwhelmed by Satan and a Christian who understands that God takes the same situations, same circumstances, same problems that Satan uses for evil. He uses it to train us, to build us into the church. And we're living examples of that. You can keep that up there, Ken, please, so that everyone can look at it. Thereby, when you find yourself, as Peter says, when you find yourself in various trials and tribulations, rejoice. But what do? Oh, man. This is bad news. This is all kinds of stuff that should happen to the wicked. No. God has designed for you to go through a little bit more of the process. And for us who have been successful in changing our thinking in that way, now we live to God. We live for His purposes. We live because we know that every situation that Satan means for evil, God turns it around for our good. So today's topic that I want to talk about a little bit is your kingship, how you're made to be kings and rulers of this world and God's government. How to function in that reality. We have been armed with this knowledge that Jesus is building a church, not a ministry. He is building a church worldwide, not a wide world ministry. Can anybody tell me what the difference is? Anybody? What's the difference between him building a ministry and calling it the church? And what is the difference of him building the church that has tons of ministries flowing from it? What's the difference? Good. You're thinking. We are his bride. And as his bride, we need to begin to start thinking in different realms. Lord told me years ago that I would know the heart of a person by how they pray. And a lot of times I would pray in groups and I would listen to people's prayers, and you know, they'd say stuff like, God, this is so difficult for me. God, why don't you just deliver me from this? God, you know, all this stuff that they're crying out to God to help make their life a little bit easier. When the reality is, Jesus gave us all power and authority to do the very thing we're asking God to do. You see, building a church that he's building and a bride that he's coming back for exercises that power and authority that has been delegated to his people. And if you want to begin to understand that, you have to understand how his government flows before you can actually begin to walk in the reality of Jesus Christ. The Antioch Church is a great example because they used to arbitrarily call the believers at that church little Christ. And that was an insult, because they were demonstrating the power and authority of God through the Holy Spirit in that church. And so those who didn't believe thought it was an insult to call the people of God, which today is really a compliment. And the church of God hasn't woken up to that reality because they think that church, even though we say it's not a building, even though we say that it's the people, they have not come to understand what church is, what the ministries are, how the power and authority of God operates. They have not understood the realm of the spirit because they're stuck in the realm of the physical. Every victory we have is for a purpose. It's not, oh, I could check this off. Oh, I got victory over this. I'll check that off. Or, you know, your victory is to set you free to go and teach others how to become free, or set them free and make disciples of them. That is, in a gist, what we're talking about. God's government is real simple. He's the King of Kings. King of Kings. and he's the Lord of Lords. He gets to tell us. We don't tell him. He gets to tell us what he wants. You know, Dan's using a great example of missions. And I've heard many of God's people being told to go do something. I can't do that, Lord. You know, you want to use Moses as an example? Moses wasn't a great man of God until he began to agree with God who he was. Stop saying what you were or don't have or can't do. That's what you used to be. That was on the other side of the cross. Jesus has redeemed you. You are now a royal priesthood with power and authority. And when you understand that, you begin to grow spiritually, which is God's design for you and for me. Jesus is King of the universe. Everything that we see at night, everything that we see during the day, He's the King of it. We are not. Although we act foolishly and believe that we are. And so the first step he wants us to do in understanding this power and authority is getting us right. It then increases into our families. It then increases into our workplace. It then continues to expand exponentially as we begin to believe the truth of what God has said about us. Isaiah 9:7 says, "And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty has accomplished this." We have all read that. But have you understood the prophetic implications of how his government is to expand and continue to have this peace? The church is just starting to waken up from a juvenile nap, I will call it, to her place in Jesus Christ. Isaiah is talking about Christ's reign is through the local church ruling over God's people as to what God is saying to the local church. It isn't a social gathering where we come together and we worship God. I give an inspiring word of scripture for us to get built up. And then we have a social gathering afterwards in which we talk with each one. All those things are nice. And if you need those things, I invite you to go to another church. You see, you are not my sheep. You are his sheep. God has a greater purpose for us. And that purpose, the only purpose, is to bring his harvest in before the end comes. Jesus is the supreme ruler, as I said last week. He tells us, but he has been so patient with us that we think we're something when we're not. We're servants of God. He is majestic. We are not. He has adopted us into his family. The Lord has created us, not we ourselves. And so the government that is laid upon the shoulders of Christ is should be an active ingredient in our lives too. And I've talked with the Lord many times about this, and there is this misnomer of why the church exists and how He looks at the church patiently to mature into that. My job, if you look at Ephesians 4, is to train you for works of ministry. It is your job to do that. But I hear things like, well, Pastor, I just couldn't make it. Did you commit to this ministry? Yeah. Well, if there wasn't a death in your family, why weren't you there? And then I get a litany of excuses. And I don't get upset. But it tells me where you are in your maturation process with God. What God has spoken to me 20 years ago is now coming to pass. 20 years I've been praying for you to be the salt and light of this world. That's a long time in our estimation of time. It is but a thought with God. 20 years. But not only is God waiting for us to grab a hold of this, so is the world. The creation waits in eager expectation of the sons of God to be revealed. Are you a son and a daughter of the Most High? If you say, yes, I am, then you should be walking in power and authority, not asking God to do what He's designed you to do. That's what the world's waiting for. Scripture says, when the wicked are in power, all the people are distressed. But when the righteous rule, they're at peace. There is a day that's coming because we're being ruled by wicked and evil people. And Jesus the righteous is coming. And there will be one day where there will be truly peace on earth, goodwill to men. The religious leaders have for so long kept this truth hidden from the people for various reasons. One of them is to control you and me, not release us into our gifts and callings that is needed. And Satan has taken advantage of that. He has caused our jobs to be in distress. He's caused our families to be in distress. He's caused our finances to be in distress. God says, if you adhere to my word and rightly divide it, good things will come to you. Today he spoke to me, to Tony. And he spoke something, excuse me for my nose, to Bobby, which is progression. The next step for each of these individuals is not only to bless them individually, but to bless their families so that God may be magnified and glorified for the families to come, because God is changing them. God's government doesn't hinder people. It matures them into their gifts and callings. God makes them what He says He's going to be. That's why I say, you know, when we get prophetic words, put them on the shelf. Unless God has sovereignly spoken to you and those prophetic words confirm, let's put it up on a shelf. Let God judge it. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Let confirmation come to us in such a way that our hearts know whether it's God or not. Let us not be distracted by every wind of doctrine. Let us not be babes any longer. Let us fully function in the government of God, of which all of you are called. The 20th century has been the greatest century that I can think of for church history. Why can I say that? In 1903, Azusa Street happened. Who knows what happened at Azusa Street? Azusa Street is when the power of the Holy Spirit was restored back to the church. The 20th century ended with the restoration of the fivefold ministries, or the ascension gifts. The apostle, the prophet, pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. All these gifts are working together to train the people of God in how the church was meant to function all along. So that if Christ should tarry, the next generation is left with a voice that is speaking truth to it, and they come to Jesus Christ. We have to understand that God's government is the fivefold ascension gifts, the priests, and the kings. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says, "And in the church God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, and those having gifts of healings, those who are able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those with tongues and speaking in different tongues." This is not a complete list, but it shows you that God has organized a way in which the church is supposed to function. In that function, you are responsible to find your place, because you're a living stone. And God wants to put you so that you can be placed where you will function the greatest for His glory. Prayer meetings. Intercessory prayer meetings. There is such a juvenile thinking about the prayer meeting. Why is intercessory prayer so important to the church? This is where the King begins to tell us what the strategies, what the plans are that He has for us. How we assault the kingdom of darkness. And understand, the kingdom of darkness has a delineation also. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." If Satan can continue to throw monkey wrenches into our lives and we're fighting amongst ourselves, he has nothing to worry about. He really doesn't. Because, exactly, we're not a threat. But he understands that God has planted streams here. And I think the first time, I think it was Nolan, noticed that I have a map and I'm praying over this whole town. We are situated dead center of this town. May not look like it, but we are. We're in the midst of the enemy. And as one Marine captain said, "We're surrounded by the enemy. Good, they can't escape." Right, you know. Remember I said that God has set it up so that we win? We can't lose. We win. Both kingdoms govern from the right of ruling through power, authority, administration, policy, and exercising power, regulating influence, restraining enemies, and managing the affairs of men. Both kingdoms. Now what we're looking at is Who are we listening to? What kingdom do we belong to? What are we speaking? As I said last week about jurisdiction. Are you speaking the law of the dark kingdom? Or are you speaking the law of light in the kingdom that you belong to? That's why we have to be careful what we say. Even more careful how we hear. Early on in his ministry, I used to say to the guys, I still say from time to time, so, what's God saying to you? And it would like shatter them. It's like, well, what are you talking about? God speaks to you. He doesn't speak to me. Think about it. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow after no other. God speaks to you. If he doesn't speak to you, you're not his sheep. Jesus rules and reigns to do two things. And I alluded to them last week. Fulfill both great commissions. The Genesis 1:28 commission. Right? Take dominion. We have dominion. And fulfill. This nose. Cut it off. We are to finish out Matthew 16:8, where Jesus said, I am building my church. How will people recognize that the kingdom of God is here? Because the kingdom of God is here. That is a fact. Jesus is here. He's the king. Where two or more are gathered, he's in the midst. Well, I can't count that high. We are no longer part of the fallen world. We are a race of people that are supernatural. And we have to challenge our thinking in such a way that it lines up with God. God wants you to fulfill the call that is in your life. He called some of you to be apostles. He has called some of you to be prophets. He has called you to be pastors, teachers, evangelists. He has called you. What are you going to do with that calling? Are you going to run after the calling? Are you going to run after him who calls you, who will bring it to pass? That is the question. Just because someone prophesies something over you doesn't make it necessarily true. Put it on the shelf. God has been so good to us that even today in speaking to Bobby and Tony, I wasn't real quick. I wanted to allow that word to sit on me in such a way to encourage these guys. Not that he doesn't want to encourage you too, but he's doing something in their lives that he wants me to prepare them for the next step. What's God doing in your life? What are your plans that you have submitted to him? Is that what he wants you to do? Oh, I never thought about it. I just figured that was a good plan and God would bless my plan. And yeah. Let me tell you about a person who had a plan. His plan was to go to church, get his kids baptized, and leave. That was me. God got a hold of me. He is wringing out the wickedness that is in me. It doesn't stop. He perfects people. We don't do it ourselves. We just need to remain faithful. Jesus is speaking to you guys. And Jesus is saying, like he said to Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's power and authority. Those keys, as we know, are for locking or unlocking. But he has given us power and authority to bound up the things that we're already asking God to do. He's not going to do it. He wants you to do it. Remember I said last week that God speaks to us to prove him. And of course he's speaking about the tithe, but he's talking about, let's prove him. What is it that God has said to you that he wants you to prove him in? In other words, just to see how faithful he is. I can't answer that for you. I can only answer what he's done for me. And every time that I've stepped out, he's not only been there to hold me up, he's saying, come on, come on. See, I got little short stubby legs. I can't run with him, but there's going to come a time that we're going to run with the horses. We're going to really struggle to keep up with God because he wants to bring this to an end. He sees the suffering of his church. He wants to bring it to an end. But the church has to realize that we have delegated power and authority to be exercised against the kingdom of darkness. Christ is building a church through grace. A lot of us don't even understand what grace is. Grace isn't something where we continue to sin and do our own thing with. Grace is given to us to penetrate and overcome the forces of evil that stand against his rulership. That's what grace is. Christ is not only the author and finisher of our faith, he's also a warrior, which we have. He is a mighty warrior. We know that. We know that to be true throughout Scripture. We know that to be true in our personal lives. But do you understand that God has given us jurisdiction? He has given us this domain to drive out the spirits of darkness, so that righteousness can rule in this area. And then when he establishes this area, he's going to establish the next area, of which we have the awesome privilege of doing the work, expanding his kingdom, as Isaiah says. I'm also giving you a Bible lesson on how to rightly divide the word, so that you can see how this comes together. And if you're desirous to build the way God wants to build, I encourage you to read my most favorite book of the Bible, Ephesians. It tells you exactly what God is about, what God is going to do, who's at opposing us, and how we defeat them. Well, I didn't sign up for this. Oh, well, then you're not a Christian. Because this is exactly what you signed up for. I'm just telling you the truth. You can wrestle with the truth all you want. I love you enough to tell you the truth of what God is doing or about to do with this church in your lives so that you can be prepared to do that which he called. Let's look at Genesis 28. We're coming to the end. This is about Jacob's ladder. So Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching into heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. He has said that to us. He has already told us what that territory is. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. All people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and I will watch over you. God is all over my message because he has given to each person a little bit about this message. He's just confirming, which I'm blessed. I am with you. Okay. I will go back. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. When God spoke streams to be here, he also told us what the purpose, he told us what the jurisdiction was, the domain in which we're to govern. He has prepared us, and he is with us. That's nothing new. We've seen what the enemy has wanted to do to impede us from becoming what God has called us to be. And we have pushed through. We have taken power and authority and pushed through the demonic strongholds. But we haven't seen anything yet. The opposition is going to really come when the church begins to assemble itself under the authority of God. Right now, we still think we get to tell God what to do. And God turns his head and doesn't listen. I would love to be like so and so. Or why is God blessing them and not blessing us? Have you ever thought the words that are coming out of your mouth? They're critical. Irene and I are trying to be an example of what it means to be in a judge-free zone and a non-critical zone. And it's hard. But God is ringing out in our lives because we want to be more like Christ. Christ doesn't judge us. Christ is not critical of us. He has redeemed us. He is joyfully overwhelmed of how you guys are progressing. And he's got a cloud of witnesses cheering us on. Don't give up. If Christ should come tomorrow, we're taken to a city that's made by God, not by man. This prophetic dream is a dream that should encapsulate all the local churches. The local church is a house of prayer where revelation, strategies, instructions, directions, warnings, and the prophetic voice of God is released. And it's confirmed in the hearts of God's people. I've had people say, I know that. Then a short time later, it's manifested. How God uses me is because I'm willing and teachable, and I can keep a secret. I'm a friend of God. Are you a friend of God? Not just a child of God, but are you a friend of God? You know, I've seen families where they've had their kids, but they're not friends with their parents. They're not friends with anybody. They speak about dirty laundry that shouldn't be aired out. And it breaks my heart, because they don't understand what covering with love for a multitude of sins means. Because, let's face it, we as parents have done a terrible job in being the example of them and calling them out when we have set the example first. All of us are guilty of this. God intends something more for us. What is it that He intends for us? His intent was that now, through the church, us, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does that translate into? Simply, God's going to manifest His glory, His wisdom, His power and authority through us to the kingdom of darkness. They have been defeated. There's nothing that we have to be afraid of. God is with us. Who can be against us? And as I've said to you, God has rigged it in such a way that we can't fail. If we mess up, we repent, we get right back up. If we do good, it's great. We move on to the next step. And the faster we learn these lessons, the faster we go through this process, the greater the church becomes. Next month, we're going to set in two elders. These two men have gone through the process and are still going through the process. I don't only expect perfection. I do expect them to operate in the power and authority to love God's people as much as I love them, as much as I see the potential that God has placed into His people. I want them to exhort that too with the people. As ambassadors of Christ, we need to know that God is bringing everything to a consummation. Then the end will come. And when He hands over, that's Christ, hands the kingdom of God to the Father after He has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy will be destroyed is death, because He's eternal life. For He has put everything under His feet. Now, when He says that everything has been put under Him, it is clear that this does not include God Himself, who puts everything under Christ. When He has done this, excuse me, then the Son Himself will be made subject to Him who put everything under Him, so that God may be all in all. That is where we're going. He intends for the church to grow up and use the power and authority so that the powers of darkness can recognize His wisdom in doing such a thing. That's where you've heard me say many times through the past, God wants you to grow up. He wants you to grow up. Why? Well, I just told you why. There's a government. You're part of his government. Are you willing to go through the process? Are you willing to ask God what it is that he's called you to? How am I supposed to function? Not everybody's supposed to function as I function. But to complement what God wants, so that all the church edifies one another, supplying the needs to edify the body. Jesus wants to rule through his church, and he can't until the people of God have the kingdom established within them. I'm a born-again believer, Pastor. But do you have the kingdom? You may have the king, but does the king have you? Well, you know, you're asking a hard question. No, I'm asking you a question because it's pertinent to your development. What has he called into your life that you, for so many years, have refused the King of Glory who gave his life for you, for me? How many out there are his kids that don't know it yet? You see, there has been a lie in the church that has said, we're the church, they're not. And that is a little bit of truth. It fosters a me against them. They're the children of God too. They just haven't heard the truth about who they are. That's where we come in. How exciting it is to have this awesome privilege to be built up with all this power and authority and just go up there and say, hey, you know, God loves you. He loves you so much, he wants you to be a part of his family. And this is how you become part of his family. If you refuse, after we've explained the gospel, we're also to tell them, well, this is what's headed for you. This is the full gospel. That one day God is going to judge. And he's going to destroy this world. You included. Our only salvation is through Jesus Christ. There's many ways to get you to heaven. Yeah. I've had these sit-down arguments with people too. But there's only one that's going to keep you in heaven, and that's Christ. Faith in Christ. Finally, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. I implore you. Not be called a Christian by name, but be reconciled. That is totally given to him. All that you have, all that you are, is his. And I make fun of people when they say, my. I call them the opera singers. Me. Ay. You guys are serious. This is serious stuff. Five things I want you to come away with, though. I want you to begin to start reminding yourself every day who you are. You are not what they say you are. You have been given power and authority to rule and reign through love. What does it look like? Come talk to us. We'll tell you what it looks like. Go and establish the kingdom of God in your domain. God has given you power and authority in your domain. Are you operating in that? Or do you have a checklist of things that you accomplished but really don't understand that checklist is leading to something greater. Four, remind yourself, we are ambassadors of love. We need to live, and we're getting to that place. Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither will streams. But we're getting to that place where we love God so much that whatever He says, we do, because we trust Him to meet our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Everything that we need is found in Jesus. Are you aware of that? Yeah, it is. And lastly, get wisdom and revelation of God's government. He tells us in Ephesians, if all you get, ask and receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Stop reading the Bible as a thing to check off. Start studying the Bible so that you, a workman, need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, which is able to save your soul. My job as pastor is to encourage you to be more than what they say you are. And that's the truth. You haven't even hit the mark that God has set for you to begin. This journey that we're all on together is to be exhilarating. It's to be fun, because we get to love on a whole lot of people who don't act very lovingly, of which we were some of those too. Go. May God's face shine upon you. May He bless you. May He bless your family. Until we meet again. I turn it over to Gomez to finish it.